fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. You know, life is tenuous. Spencer, I like big words. I like big words. It just came to me. Holy Spirit just gave me that. Tenuous. Tenuous. See, Spencer can't even spell it. Tenuous. There it is. Life is tenuous. Rare. I don't know if that's thin, small, minute. Yeah, life is tenuous. Small things, small things. Without going into too much detail, we got word yesterday that a family friend, not close friends, but family friend. Imagine this: the father of the family was out cutting down a tree yesterday because we've had storms around here, right? He's out cutting down a tree, and the tree fell on him, like dead. And you think about the common things that we do in life, cutting down trees, mowing lawns, get on a lawnmower that those blades are spinning so fast under there, get in a car and drive 70 miles an hour. There's so many variables in life. And I said to Michelle today, just as I was coming down the steps, we speak in the morning, believe it or not. I told her again how much I loved her. I said, you know what? Tomorrow's promise to no man. Nobody. We don't have any idea what lays out in front of us this day. And so much of what lays out in front of us this day really isn't even of our own doing. It's the consequences of other people's behavior. You know, Jesus said that if we have hope in this world only, we are of all men most miserable. Now, I want you to stop and think about that a second. If you're living just for this world, you are of all men most miserable. Why? Because whether we want to believe it or not, there is something beyond this world, beyond this life. Now, the man, 70, I think he was 74, strong Christian family, strong Christian man. He's in the presence of the Lord. So we don't mourn for him. We mourn for those who love him, right? And wouldn't it be interesting, those who, you know, we hear a lot about near-death experiences, and I didn't really want to get into those, but I know Michelle's dad had a heart attack. He didn't die, but he had a heart attack. And it changed him because when he was in the hospital, when his life was on the line, he was in the midst of his heart attack, he left his body. He was never a real spiritual guy. I mean, he was a good Catholic guy. He was never real spiritual. But he was never the same. After he went back in his body, he talked about being above his body and looking down and watching them literally work on him. Pretty profound, right? 1 Corinthians 15:19, Spencer, I'll send you a dollar for a tip. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Think how many people you run into every day who really have no understanding or belief in an afterlife. Understand that we are somehow, some way trapped in this time-space continuum, and that there's life and there's structure and there's things outside of this realm that we don't understand. We don't understand it. And what would it be like if I got up this morning? I'm going to go have breakfast with my buddy cousin buddy Rod, just be living a normal day. Said, you know, Rod, here's what I'm going to do. We're going to have breakfast. And after breakfast is over, I'm going to go cut down this tree that fell in my yard. My buddy's going to help me. And boom, an hour later, dead. Dead. Now, think about all the time and effort and energy and stuff that you put in to accumulate things in this world. And Jesus said that if your hope's in this world, dude, what a miserable person you are. I just want to acknowledge that this morning, because tomorrow is promised to nobody here. By the way, is there tomorrow in the spirit realm, I wonder? See, we live in a time-space continuum right here. Sun goes up, sun goes down, clock goes around 24 hours. Is there time outside this realm? This heavenly realm, this realm, whatever we call this? Is there even time? See, we don't know because we've never been there. But I was struck by something this morning I learned from Steve Quayle. Maybe you can pull it up for me. I don't know how I got on this, but let me finish it, all right? pull up, it says void. Void. I just stand alone. In the beginning, Scripture says, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was void and without form. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. That's what it says. But I learned from Steve Quayle, I don't know where he got it, that tohu wabohu is a Hebrew phrase found in Genesis creation narrative. Did you know that? It describes the state of the earth before God created the light. It's often translated as without form and void, describing a murky, unformed state. Chaos, chaotic. Nadab and Abihu were the first two sons of Aaron, the brother of Moses, who were appointed as priests in the Israelite priestly system. They died after offering unauthorized fire before the Lord. The act was a serious violation of the priestly duties, involving multiple transgressions, demonstrations of carelessness and irreverence. Their death served as a harsh lesson about the importance of adhering to God's command when in priestly service. I look at what's going on in the governmental realm. As an old football coach, you get in the huddle and you call a play, and everybody runs the play. Everybody on the team runs that same play. Don't run your own play. Then what we all call. And if you look at what's going on in the world, is it just me? Or does it appear that what you would call the Republicans don't have a team? They don't have a team. When is the last time that you heard of a Democrat defecting in voting with the Republicans? Can anybody name a time when they crossed the aisle? And we look at everything that's going on with Trump, whether you like Trump or don't like Trump, it doesn't matter. What the heck's going on? He didn't really have a team. A lot of phonies on his team. Tohu and bohu, show up on the screen, is a Hebrew phrase meaning formless and void, or unformed and empty. Let me ask you something. The Bible says this, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall be coming of the Son of Man. What was it like in the days of Noah? Bohu and tohu, formless and void. You look across the spectrum of America, do you see anything that what I would consider God's team, any connectivity at all on God's team? And yet the devil's team is 100% on the same page. You'll never hear a transgender argue about whatever. There appears to be no infighting in the Democrat team. How is that? How is that? And how is the Republican Party, which is supposed to be God's team, heck, Pat Robertson, right? Got Pat Robertson. George W. Bush was born again, although his daddy said he didn't really, although George H.W. Bush said he never really had a road to Damascus experience. What is that? What is a road to Damascus experience? And are we putting in positions of power people who are truly representing the Christian perspective, or are we going back to formless and void? That's without bringing in the whole idea of the rapture and the end times and Israel, all that kind of stuff. Just look around you at how disheveled our culture and our society is. The Bible also says that in the last days, he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. His sons and daughters are prophesy, old men will dream dreams, and young men will have visions. How do we balance those two things going on at the same time? A bahu, tohu and bohu, and God pouring out his spirit. Both true. So when I get into the whole end time thing, let me just get off my chest here. When I get into the whole end time thing, I say this, ain't none of you know. Ain't none of you know. That man yesterday, when he got in his car, whatever he did, he got his chainsaw, he made sure he had gas and he had gloves and got in his car and he drove to wherever that tree was, or whether he just carried it out of his house and went after that tree. Did he have any idea that the end was within 20 minutes? He was going to be a dead man? Bible says that tomorrow's promised to no man. Then what? Then what? You leave this realm? I want you to ponder for a second how little we teach our American children about the spiritual realm. They may watch the movie The Exorcist, or they may watch some, who knows? They may watch all the demonic stuff. But actual training, doesn't matter, you'll come to me. He said that to train a child and not train him in, it was Roosevelt, Teddy. To train a child, not train him in morals, is to train a menace to society. Are you looking around? We're creating menace to society. Now, is that the sign of the end days? I don't know. But as the old song goes, something's happening here. Something's happening here. July 1st. Something's happening here. Why? What it is ain't exactly clear. Set fires out in Colorado, and then have a sniper kill the fireman. Folks, how wicked and evil is this? And why is it that we can't recognize and point out to our children and there is such a thing as evil? There is a devil. What kind of mind would start a fire so he could shoot firemen? That's otherworldly, folks. That's otherworldly. And for some reason, I'm going to jump on this, but I'll be done here in a minute. For some reason, we want to make Christianity personal, a personal relationship with Jesus, we talked about yesterday. How could you have a personal relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and not tell everybody everywhere you go? I'll show you right here real quick. Maybe I won't. I could right now show you a picture of me and LeBron James. I'd show that thing a lot of times. Picture of me refereeing basketball with LeBron James. You say, well, why do they care? Well, because he's famous, I guess. Yeah, I could say I know LeBron James. And you mean to tell me that you have the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, you know him personally? You know him personally? We won't even defend an unborn baby. We know him personally, and we won't protect children from genital mutilation. We know Jesus Christ personally, and we won't fight to get his name in our public schools. Are you kidding me? What the heck is going on? See, we have divorced ourselves from the spiritual realm. We've divorced ourselves. We don't believe in it. We don't teach it. Or we're so heavily conscious that we're no earthly good. And we're going to church and we'll wave flags. And we'll dance around smoke machines, somehow substituting this, what appears to be movement of the spirit, to actually advancing the kingdom of God. In our mind, they're not the same thing. Because why? It's all about you, me. Jesus is my best bud. I have a personal relationship with him. So I go to church and he and I sit and talk. Oh, what about the neighbors? They have a personal relationship. Oh, yeah, but that's they have their own relationship. I got mine. And I sit there and we do praise and worship. And then after church is over, I go home and I don't talk to anybody. I don't try to influence anybody at all till I go back to church on Wednesday night. I'm going to go back again on Wednesday night and I'm going to do it. And the pastor's going to get up there. He's going to preach a good sermon and I'm going to listen to it. And I'm going to go home. And I'm not going to, vote Republican. I'm going to vote for Lindsey Graham, Mitch McConnell. Yeah, I'm voting Republican. See, there's something really deep and dark going on. And the Bible tells us that we're to have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Let me ask you something. At your church, do they expose the deep, dark works of darkness? Does your pastor get up in front of you and show you the dark works? Have nothing to do with them, but rather expose them. And I would say probably not. Because they say, well, coach, people aren't going to go to church. Because if they did that all the time, coaches, it's just so negative. That'd be so negative. People don't want to hear that. That's the problem. They don't want to hear it. The Bible says, or the question is asking, am I my brother's keeper? Am I my brother's keeper? Do I have a responsibility to teach truth to my neighbor's child? To pay my money to teach truth to him? Or am I supposed to pay money to teach lies to him? Or just let him go whatever way he wants to? Am I supposed to evangelize? The devil's great at evangelism. The devil owns the schools. The devil owns the media. The devil, well, and so, but then we say, well, brother, well, I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. Why the hell are you in the world? Why are you here? Tree could fall on you tomorrow. Personal salvation. So that's my rant. We're in the mess that we're in because Michelle would say, honey, you say the same thing over and over. Because we are ignoring the weightier matters of the law. Spencer, see if I'll give you $5 if you can find this. Where is that? Where Jesus talks to the Pharisees about the weightier matters of the law. Weightier. Does anybody know where that is? It says you heap all kinds of burdens and religious things on top of people, make them follow this and make them follow that, and they got to do this and they got to do that. And he said, you ignore the weightier matters of the law. Oh, thanks, man. Wow. Let's go to this whole verse. Go up, and scroll up the top. This is Matthew 23. And Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. In other words, they have the same authority. All therefore, whoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say one thing and they do another. The Republicans say they're Christian and vote demonic. For they bind heavy burdens, grievous to be borne. Who? The Pharisees and the Sadducees, the people who are supposed to be representing God. And they lay these heavy burdens on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. When's the last time you saw a pastor at a school board meeting? When's the last time you saw a group of pastors at a school board meeting? When's the last time you saw every pastor in town outside the local school saying no to transgender education? But all the works they do to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. Everything about it looks religious and good. Smoke machines. Oh, but they love the uppermost rooms of feasts. Oh, they love to be sitting, Pastor so-and-so sitting up on the dais up front. He gets to say the prayer. They love that. They love the chief seats in their churches. And greetings in the market. Folks, here's Pastor Deal. Hey, folks, here's Pastor Deal. Hey, here's Pastor Ray. Oh, here's Pastor Clint. But be not ye called rabbi. One is your master, even Christ, and all you are brethren. Stay with me. I'm getting it off my chest today. And call no man father. What do Catholics say about that? What do Catholics say about that? And call no man your father on the earth. For one is your father which is in heaven. By the way, neither be ye called masters. For one is your master. Even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever shall exalt himself shall be abased or put down. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Here we go. You ready? But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, leaders, you hypocrites. For you shut up the kingdom of heaven. Maybe we better ask that. What is the kingdom of heaven? What is the kingdom of heaven? It tells us in Corinthians, it's righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. But they shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you don't go in yourselves, or neither suffer you that are trying to get in. Woe unto you, Pharisees and scribe, you hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, get them to give money, for a pretense, make a long prayer, pretense, show. Therefore, ye shall receive a greater damnation. Woe unto you, church leaders, hypocrites, because you'll go on a mission trip clear over in Africa. To get one person saved. And when he's saved, you turn him into twofold more a child of hell than you are yourself. Woe unto you, blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he's a devil. Turn those tithes. Get the tithe money coming in. We got a parking lot. We got to pave. You fools and blind, for what is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it's nothing. But whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, dude, he's guilty. You fools, blind. What's greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? And whoso therefore shall swear by the altar, swear by it, by all the things that are on it. And whoever shall swear by the temple sweareth by it, and pay him that dwelt therein. And that he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of God, by him that sitteth on the throne. Woe unto you, scribes. He ain't being very kind to you, boys. Pharisees and hypocrites. You paid tithe of mint and anise and cumin, but you've omitted the weightier matters of the law. You don't talk about judgment and mercy and faith. This is what you should have done. Leave the other stuff, you blind guides. Straining a gnat. Somebody's drinking a beer. Somebody's smoking a cigarette. You swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. You make the outside of the church look pretty good. But inside, oh, you blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup, and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. A lot of woes here, folks. A lot of woes. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. For you are like unto whitened sepulchres, which are indeed look beautiful outside, but they're just full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. I'm sorry if it's not an encouraging message today. We need more of this kind of message. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy, sin. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Folks, we're in the days right now where they're murdering babies and we ain't peeping about it at all. We can't even get the Republican Party. The Republican Party put into the bill defunding of Planned Parenthood. No more paying for abortions in the budget. Did you know that? And then did you know in the reconciliation, they said, well, 1 year. 1 year. Wherefore, you be witnesses unto yourself that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill yourself up and measure your father. Suck it all in, baby. You serpents, you generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? Boy, look, I send unto you prophets, wise men, scribes. Some of them you kill and crucify. Some of them you shall scourge in your synagogues, your churches. And run them out of town. That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. Oh, don't get me going on that one. Oh, America, America, you have killed the prophets and stone them which were sent to you. And how often would I have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wing. But I nope, ain't having that. Separation of church and state, we ain't doing that. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Pretty profound, isn't it? Don't hear that kind of message preached in church. And that's why we're in a mess. Can I tell you why we're in a mess? I'm going to shut up. I'm going to let some of you get in here. Can I tell you why? Because we don't hate sin. We don't hate sin. Yeah. We want to get as close to it as we can without it burning us. We love the heat of it. We permit it in our children, and in our grandchildren, and in our markets, and in our government, in our schools. We permit the promotion of sin and then call us to we're Republicans. World's a mess, man. I'm about done. And so we think that golly, it's so bad that's near the end, I guess. We're at the end. Abahu, Adahu. Right? Life lesson without form. What a pathetic group we've become. A guy who told us to advance a kingdom. A guy told us that you would be hated of all men. The guy who told us to go into all the world and teach them the morality, who taught you, go do it. And when you go do that, don't go to Haiti, go to Hebron. Teach them to observe all I've commanded you. And I want you to know, dude, I'm with you always. I'll be right there with you when you're preaching the truth. I ain't with you when you're compromising and lying. I love you, but you deny me. Deny me. You're like taking your wife to a party and not introducing her to anybody as your wife. We're so much more we've become. I love you all. No, I don't. That's a lie. I love most of you. Or I am. Come on in. Or as one guy told me one time, I love you in the Lord. Meaning he didn't like me at all, but he was obligated to love me. Go ahead, Laura. Laura Ann, you there? Craig is. Go ahead, Craig.
Well, I don't know if you want to get into the other part I sent you today, but. No. Okay.
Not yet.
Well, here's a verse, right, that I think the Lord really, put on my heart. I think it's really a good one to live by. You talk about this gentleman that died in a tree, right? Yes, cutting a tree, right?
Right.
So you think the very last words that he left with someone, you think that was pretty profound?
Wow. I said, you ought to go ask Michelle how many times already this morning I told her I love you.
Okay. So what's the last words that Jesus said? I didn't put this together.
It is finished.
After his resurrection.
Oh, what? What did he say, Craig?
It's Acts 1:8. Pull up, Spencer, Acts 1:8, because this is profound when I put this together, you know.
Yeah.
Now he's speaking to his disciples.
Homeboy. Right. Homeboys, that's right. The ones that all ran and hid and were scared, right? He gathered them all back together.
He says, but ye shall receive the power after that the Holy Ghost is to come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Now he was speaking to them, but he's speaking to us. That's your marching orders right there. You are to be witnesses unto both, to me, to Christ, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. That'd be Hebron, Ohio, by the way.
Coach. That's right. That would be Hebron. Yes, sir.
Okay. And that'd be Smithsburg, Maryland. So that's my job. Am I a good witness to him? That's what you got to ask yourself.
What does that look like, Craig? Listen, friends, is being a good witness to God mean just living a righteous and holy life? Is that what it means? Would Jesus Christ, if he were here today, which by the way, he is, would he be at the school board meeting? He told us it'd be better if you put a millstone around your neck than continue to lie to those little kids. I think he'd be at the school board meeting. He'd be right there, Jeff Klein, flipping over some tables, I think. Are we? Do we? Why not? Where and when did the church become so passive? A bahu in a dahu, void and without form. I was driving through Newark, Ohio yesterday. You can't believe the old steeples in downtown Newark. I don't even know if the churches are open. Great big steeples. Now we have it. Air-conditioned malls. Come on in, Mark. Good to see you, man. You look healthy.
Yeah, good to see you too, Coach. Thank you, and may God receive the glory. As a church, We'll be judged, I think. I know we'll be judged individually at the White Throne, but as a church, we could rise up and stop abortion everywhere in our nation. And
Mark, they're trying to end it. Right? They said no federal dollars to abortion, and then they said, well, for 1 year. The compromise for 1 year, right?
Yeah, they don't even care about spiritual things.
The church doesn't care, Mark. The church is not holding their feet to the fire. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's agreed, and that's exactly my point. You know, and at that point of judgment, we'll have an advocate, but he'll say, "Look, you know, you could have stopped abortion. You could have stopped this thing that I never even envisioned as evil as it is." And it's not stopped yet. So, you know, where's our priority? If we don't get on that first, I mean, where's it all falls in line behind the shedding of innocent blood, doesn't it? Or I might be wrong. I don't know.
Boy, oh boy, Mark. And so then you know what happens? Then you find some churches maybe who get involved, and the rest of the churches then criticize them.
Yes, sir.
You're being judgmental and hateful and not showing the love of Jesus, right? We're so confused, man. We're so good. Good to see you, Mark. I hope you can make it to our fireworks.
Good to be.
Laura Ann, come on in.
Good morning.
Hey, there you are.
What does a witness do? They testify, right?
Yep. By the way, Laura Ann, let me freeze you for a second. I don't know if you guys know this or not. I did a study on this. They call it testify. Because back in the day when they first started doing it, a man, when he went on a witness stand, had his testicles put in a clamp. So that if he lied, he squeezed. You understand? That's where a testimony comes from. Go ahead, Lauren.
So we're not called to be disciples. We're called to be witnesses. Interpersonal relationship. Witness. Be filled with
okay,
the power
witness.
Of the Holy Spirit
yeah,
because
yeah.
it goes what back to John 1, 14,
what does,
14 plus.
What does a witness do?
What does a witness do? The word became flesh and blood, dwelt among us to reveal the grace and the glory of God until you show up, right? What does love do? Love is what love does. Show up and live it or don't. You, Betty, shows up all the time. She testifies of who Jesus Christ is. She's always there, sending a word of encouragement, doing whatever that is. That's it. You know, I help homeless people. I go to biker events. I talk to, and I just show up. Love is what love does. And look at Craig, what Craig does, or anybody else. You know, look at Claudine. She doesn't get paid a lot to go sit there with a bunch of pompous, you know what they are. In yep. you know, in a state building, trying to yep. defend children and laws, you know, she's showing up, and who's she showing up for? Jesus, just like the rest of us. You, Michelle, backs you all the time. She's showing up for Jesus, but then you're able to do what you do to show up for the rest of us. You know, wiping tears, dancing in the rain, watching fireworks, eating hot dogs, laughing, crying. That's the testimony of Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection.
Well, Lord, I play in a Thursday night golf league. So hang on, this is going to make some sense to you, folks. Hang on. I play in a Thursday night golf league. There's 80 some of us. You play with a different team, different three guys. There's a four on a team. Play with different guys. They draw it out of a hat. I always wear my cross hat. Play golf in my cross hat. And I don't know if any of you out there play golf, but they make up cuss words on the golf course. When you're playing golf, you say things that you don't even know where those words came from. When you get a bad shot or whatever, right? And I want you to know that I'm on the team. I'm just as mad. Guys are MFing and Evan, you know what men are, right? And it never fails. Ever fails that at the end of the round, one of my partners comes up to me and apologizes for his language. I find that remarkable. I didn't say anything to him. I didn't criticize him. I didn't chastise him. I just had Jesus on my hat. I didn't have to say anything else. Dale.
Yeah, amen, Coach. You know, I've had those encounters in the construction industry where them words fly off the tongue pretty frequently. And when I'm around crews that are don't know who I am, and we'll get into a conversation, they go, "So, how long you been doing this?" I said, "Well, this is kind of my side gig." "Your side gig?" I said, "Yeah, I'm a pastor." Oh, I'm so sorry. And I look, I said, hey, I said, "Don't worry about it." I said, "You've been cussing in front of God your whole life." I said, "That's the person you need to apologize to. Coach, you might want to take that line." But I believe you're reading on Matthew and Matthew 23, the eight woes, right? The woes. Yep. I'm gonna reveal our age, Coach. You remember that old cartoon, Yosemite Sam with that horse? And he wouldn't slow down, and he'd be going, "Whoa, horsey! Whoa, horsey!" Well, he got off, and he would crack that horse in the head, and he said, "When I say stop, I mean stop," or "When I say whoa," right? That's what the Lord is going to do to the church, because judgment begins at the house of the Lord. And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, then what becomes of the ungodly and the sinner, Coach? Right? Amen. So Amen. When God comes back and his chastisement comes on the church, it's not coming with a feather. It's coming with a Yosemite Sam slam in the head. Now, the other thing is, listen, what is a witness? Let's look, man, you got it. And I'm going to say, what is the witness, the word witness in the word in Greek? It's a martyr. Anybody can look it up when you translate what a witness is in the Greek. And what does that mean? It doesn't mean you got to go out and die. It means you die to yourself. It ain't about us, Coach. It's right. About him. It's about magnifying him. It's about glorifying him. It's about revealing him and about showing him. Amen. We are all called. Paul said this. People go, "Oh, that's not my calling." Listen, but it says all of you are to fulfill your calling as an evangelist. We are all called to evangelize Christianity to Amen. Everybody. Amen, Coach? Amen. Yeah, hey. Whoa, horsey. Whoa, church. Whoa, church.
Whoa. That's right. Conviction, right? Conviction.
Oh, and the last thing, Coach, yep. I said it yesterday. We need to have a train wreck with God. You want what really happens with the encounter with God is that sometimes you got to get mad to get sad to get glad. In other words, when your sin reveals, it makes you mad, man, when the spotlight's on you. And when it is, and your heart grows sorrowful, you realize you have violated God and God's love toward you. Guess what? Then you can get glad because you repent of those things. Sometimes you got to get mad to get sad to get glad.
Amen. Amen. Okay, I'm gonna shift gears just because that was deep on Mark. Maddie, your hand's still up. Mark, did you want to say something or not? Okay, it's all good. So it's our fault. I guess, you know, Michelle would say to me, "Honey, you say the same thing every day." It's our fault. Folks, it's our fault. It's our fault. They introduced a bill into Congress, no more funding of Planned Parenthood. Trump was for it. No more funding of Planned Parenthood in the big, beautiful bill, right? And they compromised to no funding for a year. In other words, they know abortion doesn't matter to Christians. No other way to cut it. That's where we are. Craig, come on in. Craig's got something he wants to, you know, Craig, man, Mr. Dig Deep. Not making fun of you, Craig. I appreciate the fact you dig deep. We're so shallow in what we know. I'm not talking about you. I am so shallow in what I know about Christianity. I'm so shallow. Christians don't want to hear anything that's upsetting. If it's upsetting, they don't want to hear anything that's challenging. That might require them to do something. No, they're not going to do that. Betty, come on in.
Yeah, this is just quick. Things are happening, especially around in our area, and I'm sure everywhere else, but in Belmont County, they are having a new regulation governing mass gatherings that has been introduced into Belmont County. And it applies to regulations that have events with over 200 people lasting longer than 6 hours. So what are they? You can't have an event with more than 200 people.
Is that unbelievable? Is that unbelievable, folks? Can I tell you why?
Unconstitutional.
There's been a fatwa, yeah. Or you know that, don't you, folks? There's been a fatwa ordered, huh? Oh yeah. How long ago was it? I said, "Here come the Muslims! Here come the Muslims! Here they come! Here they come!" We're gonna see something cataclysmic. It's gonna happen, folks. Just know that. Vinny, come on in.
You heard what Jack said yesterday. It's decorum over principle. That's what we've been talked into. We've been talked into just towing the line because it's nicer as opposed to resolving conflict.
Right. Vinny, Jesus said they would hate you. That, folks, Spencer, pull that up. That's Matthew 6, I think. Matthew 5. Do you think he's a liar? Do we think he's a liar? Is this the message? Keep going. Blessed are the poor, blah, blah, blah. Blessed are. Peacemakers, blessed are. You're the light of the world. Oh, yeah. I think not that I came to destroy the wall. No. Keep going. One of these commandments. He said, "Heard, I shall not kill. He was angry with his brother." Somewhere in there, it's going to say, "You shall be hated of all men." Not that you do it on purpose. They hate correction. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Well, that's still not what I'm looking for. You're going to be hated of all men. Mary Beth, go ahead.
It's Matthew 10 something, 22 to 24, but there I just had that happen.
There it is. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Mention my name where they don't want to hear it, they're going to hate you.
Yep.
Go ahead.
I just had that happen with like my best friend. My best friend, and I sent her a bunch of verses about, like, all men. You will be hated of all men.
All men. Hated of all men. All men. Craig, you want to jump in here?
Give me that. It's 2 or 3 minutes, maybe. So, Spencer, can you bring up the definition of confluence? Because this is what I think is happening. It's good.
How many have said, I'm just, hang on, Craig. How many of you said to your children, you shouldn't be sleeping with your girlfriend. You shouldn't be shacked up with your girlfriend. So I'm not going to say that. They won't come around. All right. Go ahead.
So what's a confluence? It's a coming or flowing together, a meeting or gathering point. I don't know if you can pull that picture up of the Ohio River and the Mississippi River that I put in a chat. I don't know if you got that one, Spencer. It was a little bit late.
Go get it.
Yeah, there it is. Oh, come down a little bit. Look at that picture there, Coach. That's where the Ohio comes together and the Mississippi. You know what that little place is called? Cairo. Cairo, I don't know. It's called Little Egypt. You remember where big solar eclipses where they met and everything? Yeah, that's pretty close to what happened there.
Yep.
Remember when you went, you salted the waters of the Ohio River?
Yep.
So that salt eventually came down to that point. He joined the Mississippi.
Isn't that something?
Went all the way down to the Crawdads and where Dale's at. So what I'm trying to point out here is there's a confluence of events that is getting ready to happen here. And locality and the things that are going on, I think you're going to begin to see. I'm just going to start this week, okay? What am I talking about? I'm talking about the BRICS meeting that's going to take place on July 6th, which is a Sunday. And Monday of this week. What is BRICS? It's an international government organization of 10 countries. Wherever you see 10, that should always raise your eyebrows. Brazil. Now look at these nations. See if any of them have been in the news lately. Well, Brazil. Of course, Russia is. I think India and Pakistan, they were fighting, right, a little while ago. China, mm-hmm. South Africa, Egypt, Ethiopia, Indonesia, Iran. You think was Iran in the news lately? Well, they're all getting ready to meet. And we know about the BRICS and we know about the Rothschild financial system. But my point being is you're getting ready to have a confluence here. All right. where them two rivers come together. You get them together. Now, guess what's getting ready to happen? Trump's tariffs, right? Get to, when are they coming off? You got that one coming, Spencer? They come off July 9th.
No, no, he just changed that. They're not coming off.
Well, two days ago, he said he was. I mean, yeah. You know, I don't know, maybe last night he decided to. But whatever. I mean, he's definitely one that changes his mind. He could go back on it. Who knows?
That's right.
But the point being is what I'm trying to point out, all this is coming in. Now, what I want to do is I want to show you something about why they're meeting in Brazil. And I want to show you the spiritual connection to this. Okay. They're meeting in Rio de Janeiro. If you know anything about Rio de Janeiro and Christ the Redeemer statue, you've all seen that famous picture where Jesus is looking over Rio de Janeiro on this beach.
Right.
Okay. Right. Well, Lady Gaga and her, you know, generosity, the one who sang the national anthem to Joe Biden. Can you bring that 1 minute film up of her tour called Mayhem? Because out of the kindness of her heart, I think it was on May 4th, 9 weeks ago to the date that they're meeting, she decided to share her concert on the beach to over 2 million people. Do you have that little video? I think it was the first one I sent you. Okay. Because it's very important. You have to see what's doing it. They're following. This is the spirit realm.
Don't miss it. The devil has a team and they're on offense. Go ahead, Craig.
Right. This is good. They're plowing the field for that. I probably sent it to you very, very early. It's an email. I sent you an email to Jared. So maybe you can pull that up while we're doing it. So my
point,
there it is. Okay. Yeah, go to the beginning of it if you can back it up. We don't have to watch the whole thing, but I want you to look at the iconicness of what they're trying to do. Look at the colors. What does that remind anybody of? Anybody has a spiritual discernment? And you look at the contortions of the bodies and the dancing and stuff like that. It's demonic. It's sending messages. Pretty soon she descends down into this big abyss here, and then she comes out on stage and stuff like that.
Great. You mean there's a devil?
Boom.
That's a ritual. Okay, what I'm trying to point out to you, this is ritualistic spiritual energy over this land, okay? And that what's getting ready to happen is you're getting ready to have a confluence of two financial systems, and somebody's going to try to come to on top. And all this talk about gold and silver and, you know, who's going to be the empire and who's going to be running the money, okay? Remember, India and China, India has more people than China does. Not by much. Okay. Right there, you're like 2.75 billion people. We're talking about consumers, all right? Actual things that need people that need to buy something or food or whatever. And so what I'm trying to tell you is I think be very cognizant of what's getting ready to happen. Don't look for the date specific, like the world's going to overturn on Sunday or Monday, but look for the outcomes that the trajectory that might happen this weekend.
By the way, folks, follow the money, right? Always follow the money. And you would have to agree, we would all have to agree that something's going on with the money. They know something's going on with the money. That's why they just continue to spend it. All that stuff that Elon Musk did, all of it, none of it's in that big, beautiful bill that Trump talked about. None of those cuts are in it. So they know something about money that we don't know about money. I don't know what it is, whether it's gold, whether it's silver, whether it's crypto, whatever it is. Something's going on right now regarding this. That's your point, right, Craig? This is coming to a head.
Right.
It's coming to a head.
This is the spiritual, physical, and the confluence of events. I mean, they're all coming together, just like the Ohio and Mississippi, okay? And when those waters mix, there's turbulence, okay? And there's undertow, right? So
turbulence coming.
When you see something come across your news feed, read the entirety of it, because it might not be at the very top that you see what's going on. It might be down at the very end or hidden in the middle.
Amen. Amen. James, come on in.
Yeah, I would say this, all the bad stuff that we see going on, money, Israel, whatever, the demonic darkness Paul said, yea, and all these things, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. All the stuff that we see makes us more looking forward to his appearing. We're going to see him soon. Amen.
It sure looks that way. But in the meantime, we're supposed to occupy till he comes. That's okay.
Amen. I have a, you're a teacher. Compare and contrast. Yep. We are the latter church. We have an early church. We have the brothers and sisters who already experienced this as they came out of Jerusalem and went out to all the world. This is a compare and contrast. So who was the leader during that time? Was Nero. Nero, they had some really wicked leaders compared to what we have today. It is just, if you compare the early church to today, man, it is, you can't really comprehend what they went through versus, I'm going down to road and I'm going down to your place and I see a lamppost. I mean, it was small, but I see a lamppost and there's Dave on the freaking lamppost being burned to death by a Roman government. This is what the first church dealt with. Yeah, brothers and sisters on the roads of Rome burned at the stake.
Amen.
So, gay and all these things, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I hope I never came across as saying anything other than that, James. God bless you. Craig.
Well, just to get some scriptural confluence of events. So about 3 or 4 weeks before Jesus is crucified, he raises Lazarus in Bethany, 2 miles away from there, right? So you can't stop that miracle. He presents himself as king, right? People are laying palm leaves down, okay? And it just happens to be Passover, and it just happens to be that they crucify him on Passover, which creates the... What I'm trying to say is the confluence of events of all these different things came together in God's ordained timing. And what I'm... That's what I think I hope people take out of this. Confluence and understanding and discerning and asking the Holy Spirit for clarity. That's all.
Amen. Amen. Messiah forced the hand. Messiah forced their hand that he would be the Passover lamb. He forced their hand. That's why I told Jesus, what you're going to do, do quickly. Because it had to be done then. If it hadn't been done when it was done, it would have never been done. Amen.
Mm. So I want to kind of leave you with this, because I know there's a whole lot of different theological positions here, and I don't want to step on anybody's toes. What if Jesus appeared in Rio de Janeiro tomorrow, or what if he somehow appeared on Sean Hannity or got on CNN and said, "Hey, folks, look, been a little bit of confusion out there about." Where we are in biblical times. Hey, I want you to know, I'm not coming yet. I'm not coming for a while. Would that impact the church? If he said, look, sorry, I've got a delay here. Some things are not going according to plan. I'm coming back, but not yet. How about you guys doing me a favor? How about you work until I can come back? Would y'all do that for me? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if we don't feel that we have a cultural, societal obligation to expand the kingdom of God, I think we're missing it. See you tomorrow.